Well, maybe we could make a start to our meeting tonight with the hymn on the sheet, Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus, Sing His Mercy and His Grace, in the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll stand while we sing this hymn together, please. Let's bow together in a word of prayer and seek God's blessing upon our coming together this evening to our place of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence in Jesus' precious name. We bow before thee, the one that is holy and righteous, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed three in one. We bow before thee tonight to thank thee and to praise thee and to worship thee for all that thou hast done for each one of us. And we thank thee for the health and strength we have had to be able to leave our homes and to come to the place of prayer tonight. And we thank thee for that desire in our hearts to seek thy face in these days in which we find ourselves. And we ask thee tonight that as we sing the hymns together and read and meditate upon thy word, and especially when we come to the time of prayer, that thou the Holy Spirit will move upon each one of us, and we will feel thy presence in the service, and we will realize that thou art still the God that is still upon the throne in the heavens, still in control of the affairs of this old world in which we live. And we ask thee that you will come and bless us as we seek thy face together this evening. We ask thee that you will bless each one connected with the church here. Lord, those that are not well, we pray that you will lay thy healing hand upon them. Those that are cast down and feeling the burden of life, we pray that you will put your loving arms around them and draw them to thyself. And any, Lord, that needs that special touch from thee at this time, we ask thee that you will draw near to them and help them and bless them. We pray for all our ministers and students and across the land and across in England and Scotland and Wales, Lord. We pray that there might be a moving of God, the Holy Spirit, again upon our preaching on the Sabbath days, Lord, as our ministers get into the pulpit and faithfully preach the gospel. We pray for that moving of God, the Holy Spirit, again amongst each one that they preach to, and that we might be able to see a moving of God, the Holy Spirit, upon each district in which the churches are set. And we ask thee to bless our missionaries at this time, those that are abroad and other lands, and we pray that you will draw near to them and help them and encourage them as they seek to take the gospel message to the people that are around them. We pray that they might know God's hand upon them. And we pray for our brothers and sisters tonight that are being persecuted, those that have been martyred for the faith, and those that are being beat up and put in prison. We pray that you will draw near to them and help them to cope. We thank thee that thou art the God that is their heavenly Father, that thou art the great shepherd of the sheep. And we ask thee, O gracious God, that you will come and touch them at this time and help them. Heavenly Father, we ask thee now that you will continue with us and this service, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. I think we'll sing the second hymn now at this time. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We'll stand again while we sing, please. We're turning tonight to Isaiah chapter 41, the book of Isaiah and the chapter 41. We're going to read some verses from this chapter of God's precious word this evening, beginning to read at the verse 1. Isaiah 41 and the verse 1. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared, and the ends of the earth were afraid. Drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee with from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against me shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make a wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittim tree, and the myrtle, and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. We'll end our reading at the verse 20, and we know that God will bless this reading from his own precious word this evening. We want to turn to this chapter for a short time before we come to prayer tonight, and we want to look tonight at precious promises for the born-again believer, the saved of the Lord. God is confronting the heathen for their idolatry, but is comforting Israel concerning their relationship with himself. And the three verses that we want to look at, verses 8 to 10, that we read together there, gives us, his children, the reason to be encouraged, Now, some may say, I don't have anything to be happy about. It just seems that everything is against me. And the world that you and I live in today is in a complete, utter shambles from beginning to end. They have turned their back upon the Word of God, and the judgment of God is beginning to fall upon them, I believe. And I believe that what is happening all over the world today is being set up for the end time scene before the Lord returns again. But thank God, even when we forget His promises, He still remembers. There was an old man who was dying and he couldn't remember God's promises, but was reminded that God never forgets. And in these verses, God gives you and I, His children, some precious promises for your journey as we live in this day and age in which we find ourselves. The question may come to your mind, why does God promise us anything? After all, it was us who ought to be promising Him things. Well, it doesn't work like that. When we get saved, we begin to live under the economy of grace. And from a human standpoint, nothing God does makes very much sense. But why, whenever we come and trust the Lord as our Savior, we realize why He does bless us. And in the verses 8 to 9, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen. Isn't that tremendous that we're chosen by God in eternity past? The seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. And it is a tremendous thing tonight that you and I that are gathered here, saved by God's grace, are chosen by the Lord. And we want just to look for a minute or two at one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. And there we see what God has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Isn't that tremendous? That before this world ever was created, before ever Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, an eternity past, God chose you and I unto salvation. Why? Because He loved us and He chose us. And the next verse, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Predestinated before the foundation of the world. And in verse 7, we have the redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that is tremendous. Three things there: election, predestination, and redemption. And you know, when we go back to these verses that we have before us tonight and realize that we are God's children, chosen by Him because He loved you and I, and yet there was nothing in us to make Him love us because we were sinners, condemned, unclean. With this in mind, let us notice three precious promises that God has given to us for our journey. The first is the promise of His presence. In verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. His presence is powerful. His presence has the power to drive away fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you know, it is a tremendous thing that you and I that are God's children, that His presence is powerful with us all the time to drive away fear. And we're human, and we do have fears, and we do get down, and we can get depressed, and we can, if you listen to the news, of course, at this time, if you could bear it, it would drive you nearly insane, because there's hardly a word of truth in it from beginning to end. But it's tremendous to have his presence that is powerful to drive away our fear. His presence is personal. In Matthew 28 and the verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Not an angel, but the Lord himself. In John 6 and 20, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And we should not be afraid, because we have the presence of the Lord with us day by day. His presence is perpetual. There's no interruption. It's continual, every moment of every day. In Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know, that is tremendous. That in the midst of our life on this earth, the Lord says he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that should encourage our hearts greatly. Where life can lead, we're still never alone. We have the promise of his presence with us at all times. But not only that, we have the promise of his person. You see, there is a relationship. It's not just that God is out there and looking after us, but there's a relationship. And we have in that verse as well, there, verse 10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. There's a realization he is God. He can do anything. And you know, that is tremendous, that we have a God in heaven who can do anything to help us cope with the problems of life that we come across. In Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond what you and I could ever ask or think, the eternal God of heaven looks after us. In Job 42 and the verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And Luke 1 and 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And you know, that is tremendous, that our Heavenly Father, there is nothing impossible. In Psalm 115 and verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And you know, we need to realize in these days that God is still in control of this old world and the mess it is in. He is still on the throne in heaven, and he's still in control and allowing and causing everything to happen to set up the end time scene. There is a reality to look anxiously about. If God is by God and he has enabled God, then why do I need to fear, to fret, or to faint? My God is on the throne. Let us realize that in all the trouble that comes to us during our lifetime, God is in control. His mighty deeds, he hasn't changed. In Malachi 3 and 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, be not consumed. And you know, we need to realize in these days that we have a God who never changes. We change, yes. We're human. But our God never changes. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. What a tremendous God we have. The promise of his presence. The promise of his person. And then we have as well, and we need to remember just who he is, the promise of his power. God's promise here is threefold. And we see in that verse 10, three different aspects of the power of God. Surely there are three aspects of his power that we can count on day by day. In verse 10, he will strengthen us. He will give us the power to see every duty and every day to its conclusion. There will be grace and strength for every need. And you know, that is tremendous. He will give us the power that we haven't got. But he gives us the power to see every duty and every day to its conclusion. And we thank God there will be grace and strength for every need. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Tremendous to have a God who strengthens us, our Heavenly Father who looks after us. And you know, whenever the little child is young and goes out, and the father comes with it and is able to look it, lift it if it falls down, be able to deal with it and encourage it day by day. But our Heavenly Father has the promise as well to you and I as his children. And then we have in verse 10 as well, he will support us. Fear not thou, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. He will give us what we need, when we need it, and the exact proportions that we require it. And you know, that is something that is wonderful, to know that God supports us day by day. And when I was thinking of this the other day and coming here, I was looking back and thinking to when I started out to do the missions in 1990. And when we started the first couple of missions, the Lord was very, very good to us and helped us out down through the years financially. But in those early days, we didn't know how we were going to. I was going to actually work. I bought a stall to go to the market and sell stuff and then go and do a mission and so on. But the Lord had other things planned. And after the first couple of missions, Lois said to me, she says, you know, we have three insurance policies coming shortly that we need to pay. And I was praying that the Lord would send us the money for the first insurance policy. And one day the phone rang and the Reverend Cook rang me. He said, would you meet me in the town for a cup of coffee? And we went into the town and met him in the town. We went and had coffee. And he said to me, he says, you know, Ronnie, just when we were finishing, he says, our men always give the harvest offering to somebody in God's work. And he pulled an envelope out of his pocket and he set it. Now he says, you can have a look at that. They're giving it to you this year. And when I opened it, I could have wept, because there was the covering for the three insurances, not one, but for the three. And you know, the Lord answers prayer and the Lord provides for his own. in tremendous ways. And for all those down through the years that have helped us and supported us, we thank God for them. And we know the Lord will reward them in the days that lie ahead. He will support us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you know, there are things that do come into your life and my life, and we can't understand why. But we know that God will help us through it. He doesn't always take away the problems, but he certainly gives us the grace to cope with them. And then as well in that verse 10, he will sustain us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He will sustain us. God will keep us and get us safely through the journey until we all reach heaven. In the verse 9, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. And in verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And you know, these are tremendous promises that we have in God's word. God did not save us to abandon us along the way. And 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Egyptians in 1 Samuel 30 and verses 11 to 13, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. And his master abandoned him. God does not operate like that. God holds us in his hand, and he doesn't leave us at any particular time. And you know, the age that we live in is everyone for themselves. And no matter who you talk to at this particular time, they're worried about the COVID. They're worried about whether they're going to die with the COVID. But when you mention salvation to them, and I said to different people, I said, you know, I have no problem with someone dying with COVID, because the day of our death is established by the Lord. And when that time comes, we leave this scene of time and we go into eternity. But it's being prepared, and with that they turn and nearly run away. They haven't the slightest interest or concern about their soul's welfare. And you know, we need in these days to realize that the world out there has very little interest in the things of God. And we need to be praying that God will deal with them and bring conviction of sin. Now, we are very thankful to have a presbytery that is sound and our ministers that preach the gospel, but there's very little happening. And we need to pray that the Lord will move again in power. And you know, when I look back over the years and missions and things and houses that we went to and was invited into and they got saved, In every case, there was someone praying for them in the background. And you know, that was tremendous. And God opens the door, and God saves those that he has chosen in eternity past. And he chose to serve, saved through the preaching of the gospel. And you know, it is unbelievable whenever you talk to someone and they come and trust the Lord as their Savior, and then you get the background to it and you realize there are friends or relations or a church that has been praying for them. And we need in these days to increase our prayer life, that it will, that God will answer prayer. And he does in his own way. I was thinking, coming up the road tonight, way back a few years ago up at Armagh, I came out of a side road to head up a main road, and the car couldn't understand what was wrong with it, and then I discovered it had a flat wheel. And I had to go up the road a bit, and there was a house on the side of the road with a space in front of it, and I pulled in and got the car jacked up, but I couldn't get the wheel off. I needed a screwdriver to take the cover that had been over the nuts in those days. The younger ones wouldn't remember that. But I had to go to the house, and I knocked the door, and this woman came to the door. Oh, she says, I'm only the home help here, but I'll get you a screwdriver, but you need to come leave it back with the woman. And we got the wheel changed and went back to the door, and I told the lady, thanked her for the screwdriver, and I said, you know, we're holding a mission. Oh, she says, you may come in. She says, I'm a backslider. And she got down and asked the Lord to restore her. And you know, God used that wheel going down so that I could be in the house, and she came back to the Lord. And you know, I've seen that hundreds of times. And there's always a background of someone that is praying or working, or the Lord's hand is guiding in these days. We need to see that happening. And Philippians 1 and 6, that's my kind of guarantee. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord. I praise the Lord for his promises. Do you praise God for his promises? However, let us be honest, we do not always live like we believe the things we do. Now might be a good night for you to come before the Lord and to thank God for his perfect word and the promises it contains. Just to thank him for being faithful and dependable. Perhaps you need to come and seek forgiveness for your lack of faith and his promises. You see, our journey may be long, or it might be short. Whatever the length of it is, and whatever we may face, we have to be thankful that we can count on God and his promises during our journey. Now, as the end time before the Lord's return appears before us, we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Don't look into yourself. Don't look at the sins around you, but look up to the Lord Jesus. And you know, there is a verse in Matthew 24, just in closing. And it's a very, very interesting verse regarding the end time. Because in this chapter 24, the Lord Jesus had been asked by his disciples about the end time and his return again. And he gives them, right down through the chapter, the things that are going to happen before he comes. But the verse that has struck me this last number of months, and last maybe year, is the verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And you know, is it not true that during these last 2 years, the gospel has been preached all over the world, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? And when we see that gospel of the kingdom to be preached, then shall the end come. And I believe that what's happening is being set up the scene for the end time. Now, how quick that comes, I'm not going to be like these American evangelists that tells you it's coming today or coming tomorrow or next week. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But when we see these things happening all around us, we need to look up and realize that the Lord is coming to take you and I home to be with him. And we need in these days to pray that the Lord will protect each one of God's children, that each one of us might be protected, and our brothers and sisters across the world that are under tremendous pressure. Some of them are being beaten and put in prison, and others are being murdered. And we need God to come and protect them, and we need to pray for them. And we need to pray in these days for a moving of God in our own land. Now, I don't believe there's going to be a worldwide revival before the Lord comes, but I believe there can be revival in Enniskillen or in Northern Ireland or in the south of Ireland or in Wales, different places. But, you know, we need to pray in these days that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that every day, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts even tonight. Before we get to prayer, Tom Edwards' mother died and will be buried on Friday. And you need to remember him in prayer. Annie Stevenson is unwell and needs our prayers at this particular time. And we're going to get down to prayer. And now, I have a problem with hearing sometimes, and I don't want to go over the top of anybody that is praying. And so I've asked our brother Ian Moore to close in prayer whenever it comes to the end of the prayer time. And so as we come now to God's and God's house, to the place of prayer, let each one of us pray and seek the Lord. If you can pray in silence. And you know, you can pray in the car going along the road, but you don't close your eyes. You keep your eyes open, but you can pray every moment of the day unto the Lord and ask him for the things that you need. But when you come to the place of prayer, if maybe you don't normally pray, you can open your mouth and thank God for saving you and ask him to bless you in the days that lie ahead. Let's bow together in prayer and one after the other seek God's blessing upon us. Our heavenly